Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I made a lot of people believe that I was really injured several times. I'm really bad.
South LA residents confess their worst April Fool's pranks. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 1st, 2008. I'm Laura Weber. Protesters interrupted Mayor Villaraigosa this morning on Skid Row. Kelly Kidwell has more on why homeless advocates are against a program to install new pedestrian lights.
The mayor announced the installation of 100 streetlights on Skid Row, but he was drowned out by people protesting the Safer City initiative. The protesters were from the Los Angeles Catholic Worker, a nearby soup kitchen. Jeff Dietrich, a volunteer at the Catholic Worker, was one of the protesters. He says the Safer City initiative, which puts more police officers on the street, only causes police to arrest the homeless for crimes like jaywalking.
People jaywalk throughout the city all the time, but they don't get arrested for it. I mean, and that's what happens. The poor can't afford to pay, the ticket goes into warrant, and then they spend time in jail for it.
The Safer City initiative began in 2006 with more police officers on Skid Row. Adding 100 streetlights to the area is the latest part of the initiative. The mayor says the streetlights are part of an effort to make Skid Row safer.
One of the things we decided early on was that we wanted to do more tree trimming, more street lighting, ensure that there's an ambiance here for street safety.
Dietrich says Skid Row doesn't need the light. He thinks the money is better spent elsewhere. But some advocates for the homeless disagree. Savito Jones, a community activist who lives on Skid Row, says the protesters aren't thinking about the neighborhood's residents.
My issue with the protesters, they do not live on Skid Row. They come down here and feed people. So, no, I don't disagree with the streetlights. I like the streetlights because I have children and I love for my children to come visit Skid Row.
The mayor says the Safer City Initiative is not punishing residents but trying to improve the streets of Skid Row. Kelly Kidwell, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles is hoping for a murder-free weekend after the city council passed a moratorium on murder. No, this is not an April Fool's joke. Matt Mundy has more on the city's plan to stop the violence.
Civil rights activists were successful in convincing city council to approve the symbolic moratorium this morning. The moratorium will begin Friday, April 4th at 6:01 p.m., the date and time Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated 40 years ago. Civil rights leaders presented the city council with a list of the 23 Los Angeles residents murdered in March, including seven victims under the age of 18. President of the Los Angeles Urban Policy Roundtable, Earl Fari Hutchison, says he hopes violence can be stopped for more than 40 hours, but it's a good place to start.
If you can do this for this short period of time, it sets a precedent, it sets a model for the future. It shows it can be done.
The city council enthusiastically passed the resolution. Councilmember Richard Alarcon insisted that there should be nothing symbolic about the moratorium. He asked his fellow council members to use the 40 hours to honor King by working in their communities to end violent crime. Matthew Mundy, Annenberg Radio News.
A Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy shot and wounded a man who threatened him with a knife this morning. It happened on the shoulder of the 105 freeway in Hawthorne during rush hour. The freeway was shut down after the deputy wounded the 19-year-old Inglewood resident, who was then taken to the hospital. The deputy was off duty at the time. He pulled the young man over for driving erratically. The Department of Homeland Security announced today it will waive environmental laws to expedite construction of a fence along the border between the United States and Mexico. Hannah Kim has the story.
The waivers exempt the fence construction from more than 30 environmental regulations and will keep the project on pace to finish by the end of the year. Ira Melman of the Federation for American Immigration Reform supports the border fence. He says the waivers are necessary to ensure its quick completion to stop illegal immigrants.
Otherwise, what is likely to happen is the variety of organizations that are opposed to the fence will litigate this thing to a point where it'll take years and years and years for it to get built.
Supporters of the fence say illegal immigrants are already causing environmental damage to the border, making the environmental reviews unnecessary. But Dr. Michael White of San Diego's Conservation Biology Institute says the fence still needs to go through a thorough review. If not, he says it will cause irrevocable harm.
We think that there are alternatives in particular locations that will not cause the same amount of damage. There may be places where building a fence is really the best solution, but we should be looking comprehensively at where we really need to think of alternative means of securing the border.
But despite the controversy over the environmental impacts, immigration advocates say that even if the fence is built, it will not stop people from crossing into the United States. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA County Board of Supervisors today agreed to continue contracting physicians for the triage center at Harbor UCLA Hospital. The plan will last through February of 2009. After that, the county will look to hire its own physicians as a more permanent solution. And looking to the weather, we'll see snow flurries tonight as temperatures drop into the teens. Tomorrow it will be sunny and warm in the low hundreds, followed by hailstorms on Thursday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, hear how students at Hawthorne High School are using hip-hop to work toward diplomas. Today is April Fool's Day. Our Dara Peronata asked local residents about their foolish behavior.
Words that can instigate laughter, worry, or even outrage. But for some people, April 1st is an excuse for fun. USC cinema major Drew Bennett.
I think it should be celebrated more, but it's very hard to pull off good April Fool's jokes, and therefore everyone just sort of submits to these really corny, stupid jokes. But it's fun. It's a good tradition. Why not? I don't know. Who cares?
Aspiring actor Rodrigo Fernandez likes pulling a wide range of pranks.
I made a lot of people believe that I was really injured several times. I'm really bad. I'm being good today, though. What else? Fake phone calls. Just fake situations.
How did people react to finding out that you were injured?
Oh, they freaked out. They freaked out. But then I started laughing like 2 or 3 minutes after, you know.
For 71-year-old Michael Imarjan, April Fool's Day is just another Tuesday.
Oh, I think it's just another day. It's fun day. I forgot it was April. Just another, you know, nothing, you know, just fun. Now that I'm older, I just take it as another day.
For other people, April Fool's Day keeps them on their toes. USC cinema production major Maria Doctor.
Last night on the phone, I have my boyfriend is coming into town, and he told me tomorrow's April Fool's Day, and I'm like, what do you mean? There's some implications because he's kind of silly, and he's like, well, now you're gonna have to guess, and I'm like, well, now that you tell me, I'm gonna be considering anything extreme you tell me to be not true, so it's kind of counterproductive. But anyways, now I'm on my toes more so, and I don't know if that's good or bad. We'll see.
Do you like this day? Because you have to be on your toes a lot, you said?
You know what? I think it was more enjoyable in like junior high, elementary, when I was more of a prankster. I think the older you get, the more worries you have, the less likely you are to act like a child and indulge in those, you know, fun experiences.
Chemistry PhD student Tim Stewart offers his own April Fool's joke.
A very classic April Fool's joke that you've got to pull on your siblings is just to use the water sprayer from the kitchen sink, put a rubber band around it, and turn it towards the person.
High school senior Stephanie Maldonado pulled a joke on herself.
Yesterday, which was March 31st, I thought April 1st was in until next week. And April 1st ended up being today.
Comedian and improvisation trainer Eric Honeycutt believes the best way to be funny is to be yourself.
Everybody has the potential to be funny if they get out of their own way. So a lot of it's bringing your own personality to the work and you know, following what interests you, because the way you think is certainly different than the way I think. And, you know, if you're honest about it and uninhibited, then chances are I'm going to find something you do pretty funny.
For Maria Doctor, the best April Fool's Day jokes are the ones that keep people guessing.
You gotta wait a little longer. The best ones are when, you know, they wait like a day or so to reveal the truth, and then it's quality. It's a quality joke there. So happy April Fool's Day.
Happy April Fool's Day. Daryl Peronata, Annenberg Radio News.
students in urban areas are more likely to drop out of high school. That's according to a study released by the America's Promise Alliance. Emily Henry reports.
About half of the students in big city public schools don't make it to graduation. Los Angeles has the sixth highest dropout rate in the nation, with around 55% of students dropping out before they complete their senior year. But Jessica Bowden, a student at Wallace Annenberg High School in South Los Angeles, has a different story. Are you going to graduate?
Yes, ma'am.
She wants to go to college and study psychology before going on to a master's degree.
Some people feel they can't take it or make it, or they don't have like family support.
Joy Hunter, head guidance counselor, believes that dropout rates can be overturned by two factors: parental involvement and supervision.
So the students get a lot of monitoring and a lot of supervision. Nobody falls through the cracks.
Inner city schools have different problems to deal with than rural areas.
One of the problems is violence and gang activity from right outside the school door, and in some schools, inside the school doors.
But if there's any influence from gangs here, it isn't visible. Wrought iron gates keep the city out, and students are offered after-school programs to keep them away from the streets.
I mean, absolutely, anytime you're working with high school students, you're always concerned about dropouts.
Last year was the high school's first graduating class. There were no dropouts. And as students approach the June graduation date, that tradition looks set to continue. Emily Henry, Annenberg Radio News.
No Child Left Behind has forced many schools to cut arts programs. But some schools are finding a way to get the extras to their students. Catherine Reese takes us to Hip Hop High, where students are making grades by making music.
For 17-year-old Trenard Moody, walking to school was never easy.
I really didn't go to no regular public high school because the little high school that's by my house is like a lot of gang area, like it's, you know, I can't go there really.
So Trenard came to Hawthorne's Media Arts Academy. Life may be hard, but he's able to find a bit of harmony.
Times is hard like when you first went away, so today I'm using rap lyrics to pray.
And he's getting school credit for it. Media Arts Academy uses hip-hop music to teach subjects like English and history. Trenard recorded his own single using the school's impressive recording studio. Teachers say these kind of resources are an incentive to learn.
Or, you know, writing song lyrics, writing poetry, anything like that, especially for the kids who I know really don't really like to write. If I sell it to them, like, oh, it's a poem, or, you know, write it like a, you know, write a song lyric about the same subject, then they'll do it.
Principal Jennifer Murphy says the program is a draw for students like Trenard, who may have otherwise dropped out.
What we've added is some bling, if you will, to what it is we do, and a hook, a reason to come to school for kids that really need a reason.
A low student-teacher ratio and one-on-one attention keep students from falling through the cracks.
They don't go a day without talking to one of us. I mean, they do not.
And with attendance and test scores rising, the school is seeing results.
I have a student that came to us with basically Fs and Ds on his report card, and he's a straight-A student here because he gets it.
Some argue the bad boy hip-hop culture may be the wrong message for students, but the school aims to keep them on track with messages of family, respect, community, and education.
Those four things is sort of the touchstone, if you will.
If Trenard stays on the beat, he will graduate this spring. He plans to study mechanics at El Camino College.
The only thing that stopped me from doing it is to be dead or in jail. That's the only thing that stopped me from being like successful. Like.
Teachers expect Trenard to see that success, thanks to hip-hop.
I'ma stay focused and introduce the world to the meaning of a soldier.
Catherine Reese, Annenberg Radio News.
Hip-hop is just one way educators are trying to engage students. Earlier today, I spoke with Professor David Marsh of the USC School of Education about the many challenges of figuring the best way to capture the talents and attention of high schoolers. He said public schools in a large city like Los Angeles face the most obstacles.
The inner city schools tend to be bigger. They tend to be much more impersonal. The instruction isn't nearly as good. Teachers aren't as good. And so a lot of the reason for this has really to do with education, not just the community.
So then what are some of the solutions when it comes to getting kids to want to stay in, to want to graduate and further themselves?
Well, The U.S. schools compared to other countries are very divergent. They split between what the school cares about and what the kids care about. What you see in successful schools are small learning communities that know the kids, honor and work hard with the kids, where the kid is engaged in the school learning because there's something positive they care about. In the American schools, this isn't just inner city schools, the incentives are all negative. Whereas in a lot of other places, what I'm trying to do is help the kids do well, and I'll actually collaborate with other teachers so I can learn better strategies for doing it. Therefore, if the kids do well in my class, it doesn't hurt by scores the kids in other class. You can get a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the national test. It's more known. So there's a case of where the school and the kid are working hard to do the same thing.
Are there specific examples of programs in this city that you can think of that have been successful in engaging the students?
There are there are schools that have a particular theme or focus. It might be the LA Zoo. It might be music. It might be something. And you mentioned hip-hop a few minutes ago. The thing that you want to do is find something the kids desperately care about and use that as a vehicle for learning a lot of other things. Now, the schools will say, well, we can't do that because the state standards prohibit us. Well, the state standards are kind of the general frame of what kids need to learn. But the schools that are really good at building skills, reading and writing skills, then have a chance to help kids work on those things in the context of something fun like hip-hop. And we find that kids are really willing to work much harder in the magnet schools that have that focus.
What will LAUSD have to consider most if they want to turn their... I mean, I know obviously Mayor Villaraigosa has focused a lot on education.
Right.
What is one of the biggest things they're going to have to focus on to start out to really address the problem of dropouts?
They're going to have to make sure that middle schools work. You can't just help dropouts enough at the high school level. Our middle schools, honestly, are a challenge. The elementary schools have changed a fair amount more. Kids are learning how to read, decoding, reading words, but the comprehension part isn't coming through so well. Kids in math are learning the procedures, how to add 3 plus 2, but they're not getting the idea, the problem-solving part in math. Our middle schools, then, compared to other middle schools across the world, our kids in middle school actually decline in performance relative to other countries. So this isn't just a hormone problem of, oh, those middle school kids, no matter what you do, it's not going to work. It is not that at all. You can't have a school of even 1,500 middle school kids and think that anyone knows the kid well enough. If a teacher only sees the kid one period a day, that's almost for sure a way of saying that if the kids at all challenged in their home life or their learning motivation or whatever have real challenges in some respects. Some kids at middle school are really good in reading and writing. They hate math. Well, you've got to understand that kid and get connected with that kid to help them work to do.
Professor Marsh, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That was David Marsh with the USC School of Education. Remember to keep clicking on AnnenbergRadio.org for more stories.
Everybody is a paycheck away from homelessness, and the stereotype that they're doing with people, a lot of people that I have met on the streets, they weren't always on drugs and alcohol. Sometime a long term of being homeless has led them down that path. I've met some wonderful people that were homeless. I've met Harvard students. I've met all kinds of people.
In a special report, Hannah Ingber Nguyen looks at the public's perceptions of people who don't have shelter and how perceptions of the homeless affect public policy, only on AnnenbergRadio.org. Now we check in with Sean Chitness to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Laura, tonight we'll have the story of a USC architecture student and her case against the university. She was assaulted in a campus bathroom in 2004. We'll tell you what both sides said today. And our weather anchor, Melissa Pasternak, has a series called Cheap Dates. Tonight she'll show you a trendy and stylish place that has great food and hours of fun. What is it? Well, you'll have to watch tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6 on Trojan Vision and on our website, atvn.org. Laura, back to you.
Thanks, Sean. That's it for this Tuesday. We hope that you had a good time listening to us, and we had help today from Stephanie Meisenheimer, Sonata Lee, and Timothy Beckworth. Catherine Reese is our producer. Matt Mundy is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Laura Weber.